Good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Yahushua, our Messiah. The name of this program is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas. We've been going through the Bible. We've ended up in the book of Daniel, and we are last time we left off pretty much in the middle of chapter Daniel 9. So I'm going to back up a little bit. Actually, I want to back up to the first verse, but I'm going to pick up a little later on. But the reason I want to back up to the first verse is because it dates, it tells us when Daniel is given the vision and when he's given the things, the prophecies that he's given in this chapter of the book. It says in Daniel 9:1, in the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. And of course, the realm of the Chaldeans is Babylon, which used to be under Nebuchadnezzar, and then his son, and then before Darius the Mede took it. If we jump back to chapter 8 real quickly here, in the first verse of chapter 8, Daniel begins the same way, but he says, in the third year of the reign of King Belshazzar, a vision appeared to me. And so he's dating it by the reign of the king. And I'm not sure, but I'm pretty sure that the third year of the reign of King Belshazzar was his last year that he sat as the king over Babylon. Because Daniel, of course, when we left Daniel, the chapter 8, as Daniel recorded there, Daniel received the vision all the way to the destruction of Jerusalem and much more. But basically, the vision was concerning his people, Israel, and the temple, and putting an end to pretty much national Israel, or as I've come to call it, the mortal kingdom of God on earth, which really had been vanquished almost 70 years earlier when Babylon finally besieged Jerusalem and put an end to national Israel as a self-governing nation. But as the scripture foretold, as prophecy foretold from the beginning, a seed had to remain of Israel to bring forth the Messiah, the promised Redeemer of mankind, through the seed of a woman who would be of the lineage, of course, of Adam and Eve, and then Shem, and then of Noah's son, Shem, and then up to Abraham and Israel, of course. And finally, we have the Messiah who appears on the scene, who is that promised Redeemer that was promised all the way back in the beginning, in the first book of the Bible, to the first, as recorded in the first book of the Bible, in Genesis, as prophesied and promised to all of our great-great-great-grandparents, Adam and Eve. The reason I'm jumping back to cover this is we were discussing the 2300 days of Daniel chapter 8, and many people like to translate these 2300 days, which is actually the Hebrew word which refers to the transition. It can be translated evening, but actually it refers to the transition from day to evening or evening to night. So the word there, and basically it refers to the beginning of the day, which is, as I believe, is the evening. And I don't believe there's any evidence to prove that the day begins at any other time, of course, according to the scripture. Today they keep the day, it begins in the middle of the night, which is kind of silly, because how do you begin something in the middle of a cycle? Doesn't make sense to me. It's not logical, of course, but, you know, everything does not have to be logical. But we cannot interpret the Bible on logic alone. Our Heavenly Father did make us logical. He gave us logic to reason things out, but He also gave us His Word, and we need to really let the Word interpret the Word. But getting back to the 2300 years, I proposed when we were going through Daniel chapter 8 that the 2300 days were actual literal days. And if you count out the 2300 days, you come to something like 6.4 years. So 6 and six and a third to six and a half years, somewhere in there. I forget, I don't have the exact number, but a quick calculation on a calculator, but you get the idea, 6.4 years. So you have something slightly less than 7 years or slightly less than 6.5 years. Well, and then we considered the 2,300 days being interpreted as years. And a few things that we considered was the reason that we would interpret that as years. Well, the reason we would interpret that as years is because there are other prophecies given in Daniel that are interpreted as years. One is Daniel's 70 weeks, and history played that out, that we can approximate that it was 490 years till all of the things foretold in that prophecy were fulfilled. So we know that that was a year for a day prophecy, but there's a difference there. And before we discuss that difference, let's talk about the other prophecy is the times, time, and half a time. Well, the times would be two, because it's a time, plural, that means two times, and then one time, times, time, and half a time. That's been interpreted to be 3.5 years. Of course, times being two, a time being one, and a half a time being 3.5. Also, we have the same prophecy given elsewhere in Scripture as translated as 1,260 years. So it doesn't take a whole lot of logic and study to put those two together and realize that it's talking about the same prophecy, so that actually Scripture gives us the interpretation for that one. So we know that one is years too. Okay, but then we have Daniel 70 weeks. Now, so we go, well, that's a day for a year. But there's a problem with that. Daniel 70 weeks is not a day for a year prophecy, because in reality, Daniel 70 weeks is not really interpreted correctly when it says 70 weeks. Because when we think of a week in contemporary terms, we think of seven literal days. One, two, three, four. Like, you know, we have a week on our calendar from, say, a Monday to a Sunday or so, and so forth, from any seven literal days. But actually, the language should be interpreted 70 sevens, because it's just the word, it's a plurality of the word seven. So being interpreted week, it gives us the idea that it's talking about days. So there's nothing wrong with that, but for us to interpret it as days would be wrong. And we found out by history, by the fulfillment of that prophecy, that that was wrong if we would have interpreted it that way. So we interpreted correctly at those 70 weeks as 70 years of seven. So we have seven times 70 years, which adds up to 490 years. So nowhere in that prophecy does it say day. Okay, then we consider the times, time, and half a time. Well, nowhere in that one does it say day either. So we have a difference there, and we need to apply the principle of difference or not being similar. There's something that is not similar there. Now, almost universally, by historists and mainly Seventh-day Adventists, and I'll tell you, I have a great respect for the Seventh-day Adventists and their exhaustive research into prophecy. But I believe they're wrong on this point. When they translate the 2,300 days as years, going through their own documents and seeing how they and people that are like-minded have developed these principles for interpreting the symbols and the prophecies of Daniel and Revelation together, how they ignore these principles when it comes to translating the 2,300 years, how they just accept it. And I have an example of that, and let me look for that. 70 weeks in the 2,300 years. It's like I scrolled by that there. Okay. It should have been queued up here. And, well, basically what they do, they take the 2,300 years and they interpret it, because if you go forward 2,300 years, and I tried several things to figure out how could 2,300 years work, no matter what starting point, because the 2,300 years concerns the temple and the dedication of the temple through the cleansing of the temple ceremonially, okay? Because the temple is to be rebuilt and then ceremonially cleansed before they can reinstitute the sacrifice. At least that's what we learned by going back through Leviticus and Deuteronomy. That's what we learned. So there's no doubt about what that's about. But if you go 2,300 years from when the prophecy was given, you end up somewhere around 1,200 years after Christ, or 1,200 years A.D. I don't have the exact years, but it doesn't matter, because the problem is nowhere near that span of time is there a temple that is rebuilt where they can ceremonially cleanse it. And let's see, that's going from the time of Daniel forward, I believe, goes to 1844, approximately. I'm not going to say it's the exact date, but that's the date I came up with, too, by my calculations. And if you want to see my calculations, you can go to my website, crosstheborder.org, and you click on the link of what year is it, scroll down in that document, and you'll see where I've inserted the 2,300 years with my questions about it. So I thought, well, you know, that has to be wrong because there's no temple. So I think, well, maybe it goes from the time that the priest tabernacle system was set up when the children of Israel came out of Egypt. So I went from that date forward, and yeah, like I said, you end up around 1,200 AD, and there's no temple there. So no matter what I do with the 2,300 years, there's no temple. So what I found is that many people said, well, it has to do with the temple in heaven. Well, that doesn't fit in with the prophecy, because the prophecies are concerning Daniel. The prophecies are concerning the holy people, Israel. They're not concerning a temple in heaven. And besides, they refer to the temple being trodden underfoot. And you can't trod a temple in heaven underfoot. So I rejected that. I rejected all of those. And I came up with this, you know, using the difference principle and the similarity principle, realizing the difference between the way these prophecies are given. Two of them do not mention days at all, although one seems to in the translation we're given by using the word weeks instead of seven, or sevens, being the plural of seven. So instead of saying, translating properly and saying 70 sevens, it says 70 weeks. So that could cause a little confusion and lead us to believe that all of the prophecies given here should be translated a day for a year. But if we use that difference principle, we realize that this one prophecy is different from the others in that it specifically says days, where the others do not mention days at all. And then we have history that bears out. And it's no wonder that history does not bear out the 2,300 years. So a lot of people spiritualized it, and they say, well, it's concerning the temple in heaven in 1844. So I've accepted the idea that it had to be 2,300 literal days, which is like I said, 6.4 something years. So we have something less than 7 years. And I actually, going through all of, because I've been looking into this for days, and it's a funny thing, I get on here and I realize that there's still stuff that I don't know and I have to look into, so I get back into it. So I've been looking at this all weekend and for another day since then, trying to make some sense of this. And I found a scripture that helps me out. So it's wonderful that I find the answer in scripture itself. And actually, I found this while going through some other documents of people who hold to the day for a year interpretation of the 2,300 days. And somehow they mention this scripture while talking about something else. And it clicked. And what I'm talking about here is Ezra. It's in Ezra 6:15. So if I go to Ezra 6:15, what I find out is, well, let me back up a little bit. No, for Ezra 6:15. And this house was finished on the third day of the month of Adar, which was in the sixth year of the reign of Darius the king. Well, that's very interesting. And they're talking about finishing the temple, because it says that the house was finished, because they rebuilt the temple first. And here in 6:14 it says, the elders of the Yahudim, and here in this version it says, they translate it Jews, in the King James, or in the authorized King James Version, though I'm sure they didn't translate it that way in the 1611 King James Version, because the 1611 King James Version doesn't even have the word Jew in it. Interesting. But that's a whole other study. But it says the elders of the Yahudim built, and they prospered through the prophesying of Haggai, the prophet, Zechariah, the son of Iddo, and they built and finished it according to the commandment of the God of Israel, and according to the commandment of Cyrus and Darius and Artaxerxes being king, Artaxerxes, king of Persia. So the kings of Persia, Cyrus, Darius, Artaxerxes, also gave the commandment to go forth and rebuild the temple and then rebuild Jerusalem. But here it says, and the house was finished in the third year of the month of Adar, in the third day of the month of Adar, which was the sixth year of the reign of Darius the king. And you know, that's a funny thing, that that's about 2,300 literal days after Daniel was given the prophecy. I think I'm on to something here. And I can't believe that no one has ever, I'm sure that there are other people who have seen this before. And maybe, you know, I'm the latecomer, but I've never heard it put this way before. But there it is. The literal 2,300 days is fulfilled. And we have the fulfillment recorded in Ezra 6:15. Because and if we go back to our Daniel verse here, where it says, in the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus. So it's the same guy, Darius, is it not? If I go back and it says, the sixth year of the reign of Darius the king, in Ezra 6:15, the house was finished. So what would they do when the house was finished? Well, they would cleanse it ceremonially. So let's go back to Daniel and let's read that again and see what Daniel said about that. Okay, the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, the angel comes and he gives him the 70 weeks prophecy, and he clarifies the prophecy that was cut off before when Daniel got sick. When he was trying to get a clarification, he said none understood it, and Daniel got sick. And I believe that his illness had a lot to do with the prophecy that was given. It was not something that I don't believe Daniel was really expecting to hear, but it literally, physically made him sick. So anyway, let's find this 2,300 year days prophecy and see what it says there again in light of this from Ezra. Now I got to find it again. The ram you saw, let me see. Okay, here it is. Daniel 8:14. And he said unto me, okay, well, let's back up a little bit. And I heard one saint speaking, and another saint said unto that certain saint which spoke, how long shall the vision concerning the daily and the transgression of desolation to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden underfoot? You know, we have to understand this question before we understand the answer to the question. One saint says to another, he says, how long the vision? That's one question. And okay, the daily and the transgression of desolation to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden underfoot. Now, I'm not sure, you know, the way this is translated is somewhat broken up. But basically, to answer this question with a literal 2,300 days, the question is, how long will the desolation of the sanctuary last that was brought about by the transgression? How long, and the host to be trodden underfoot? Of course, the whole host is Israel. Well, the condition of Israel and Daniel at that time was that the host, the nation Israel, was trodden underfoot. They were under the foot of another government. They were not a free people. And the sanctuary, the desolation of the sanctuary, how long? And what does the angel say? He turns to Daniel. He says, unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. So we jump over to Ezra 6:15, and we see that in the sixth year of Darius, approximately 2,300 literal days later, the house was finished. So what would they have done when the house was finished? And he says here, unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. When it was finished, the first thing they would have done they would have had the cleansing ceremony so that they could reinstitute the sacrifice. And I'm going to tell you, that's exactly what happened. I have the witness from Scripture that is it, that the 2,300 days is a literal 2,300 days to literal 2,300 days. It could not be any clearer than that. So that helps to shed a light upon a lot of things, and we don't have to accept this idea that in 1844 the sanctuary was cleansed in heaven, because this doesn't work. It doesn't fit. It's nonsensical. It has nothing to do with the people, the host of Israel, and the physical sanctuary and earth actually being trodden underfoot. because of the desolation that was brought about by the transgression of the people of Israel. That's why they lost the temple. That's why they lost the sanctuary and Jerusalem, because of the transgression, which made it desolate. Couldn't be any clearer than that. I hope that anyone who had any questions about that is now as clear on that as I am. So let's jump back into Daniel chapter 9, and we're going to pick up where the prophecy begins, because that's where we left off. Daniel, of course, prays this wonderful prayer after discovering by the books that 70 years were to be accomplished, and it was the time for the years to be accomplished or finished, the 70-year captivity that started with Nebuchadnezzar, the first king of Babylon. And Daniel just prays this wonderful prayer for the people, and just the heart of this man toward his toward their heavenly Father, and the heart for his people and for the sins of his people. And he just cries out to heavenly Father for that. He continues, "Now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate." So he refers to the desolation of the sanctuary. And what is the transgression that made it desolate? And of course, when we go forward, we'll see that Yahshua said, he talked about the transgression that makes it desolate, referred to by Daniel the prophet, or referred to by Daniel. He refers to this type of thing, the transgression that makes it desolate. What Yahshua was saying is the same thing is going to happen now. And when you see it, then you'll know that it's time. And he also, that helps to bring a lot of pieces together, because he also said, when you see Jerusalem compassed about by armies, and he folded that into the same string of prophecy that he was given. And that's exactly what happened back in Daniel's day, was Jerusalem was compassed about, of course, by the Babylonian army. So we see the same thing happening. You have the transgression that makes it desolate. It's compassed about by armies. The sanctuary and the city is destroyed by Babylon. And so we see the same thing happen in 70 AD by the Romans that happened before, when Yahshua, Jesus, was referring to, when he said, when you see the thing that was spoken of by Daniel the prophet. So the same thing is going to happen. It's not the same instance. In one instance, it was the last king of Judah and the people of that time who fulfilled the transgression which brought about the desolation of Jerusalem and the temple. And then you go forward, that what brought about the transgression was, of course, the rejection of the Messiah, and just the transgression of the people that brought about, again, the destruction of Jerusalem and the destruction of the temple. So we see a parallel there of two events that are not the exact same events, but they are the same type of event. And I believe that's what the Messiah was talking about. So we're going to pick up here after the bottom of the hour break. Don't go anywhere.